In 2018, we lost two very important members of the renewable energy community in Wisconsin. Jeff Anthony served on ReNew's board of directors for the past 6 years. He worked at We Energies early in his career, and in those years he worked with ReNew Wisconsin on various renewable energy initiatives. Later, he worked for the American Wind Energy Association, or AWEA, out of Washington, D.C., and most recently, he worked for the Midwest Energy Research Consortium, or MWERC. We lost Jeff too early in life, unexpectedly this year. We also lost David Blecker. David was a valued volunteer and contributor to ReNew and to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association for many years. He was an unbelievably skilled electrician, a master at DC power, as someone put, a longtime member of our community and an early member installing a lot of small wind, PV. The picture here is him in Puerto Rico installing solar, off-grid solar applications to help people get power back after the catastrophe there a couple years ago. Again, Dave lost unexpectedly and too early in life. So, you know, they're looking down on us, and I think we should give them a round of applause. Stand up and thank them for all their service. And next, I'm going to call up three individuals to give you some of the most inspiring stories of the year. We heard a lot of achievements and accomplishments from Michael Vickerman earlier. These are vignettes. These are give you a little bit more taste of what's going on in Wisconsin. And so they're going to be done in a kind of a unique story format. And one way to put it is, says Stanley as he comes up. So presenters were asked to provide about a 5-minute feature, 20 seconds per slide, and they're going to automatically move forward. So they've all scripted themselves to follow this. They're not in control of the slides. They are moving on their own on how their organization transformed the way we look at renewable energy projects in 2018. And so our first guest is Sam Danaisky, program manager of some of our programs, including the Solar for Good program that ReNew runs. And I'm gonna start this, and Sam, you get ready.
Hey, I'm ready.
It's coming.
I know. In 2016, Cal and Lori Couillard met ReNew Wisconsin director Tyler Huebner at a seminar they were attending on the importance of money and happiness. The speaker explained that after a certain amount of money, once your family's basic needs are met, most people get more enjoyment out of their money by donating it back to causes they believe in. About a year later, and after some more meetings with Tyler and ReNew, Cal installed nearly 700 solar panels on top of his Edgerton-based manufacturing facility. Cal had been interested in solar for decades, but it wasn't until 2 years ago that he realized he could be green both environmentally and economically. After seeing the firsthand benefits of solar, Cal and Lori realized that this was going to be how they gave back to their community. So they had even more meetings with ReNew to brainstorm on how they could scale up solar for the road ahead. The only remaining question was, who could benefit the most from this technology while at the same time helping to spur the industry forward? The answer, it turns out, was nonprofits. Nonprofits do an amazing amount of good for their community, but they also tend to lack the funding needed to finance a solar project. Nonprofits also would be able to take the money that they saved on their electric bills and immediately reinvest it back in their own programs, helping out the community in the ways that they do best. Nonprofits also had the potential to be great solar ambassadors. Nonprofits have their own communities with their own very loyal and dedicated membership, and they command the respect not only of their own membership, but often of the general public as well. So armed with this plan, the Couillards and ReNew decided to offer a solar grant. And this grant would provide up to 20% of the cost for the nonprofit solar array. Their idea was to take their money and spread it around to as many groups as possible to fund not just one solar project, but many, with the hopes of also adding on partnerships from both the public and the private sector. So in 2017, when we put this plan into action, we issued $140,000 worth of solar grants. We awarded these grants to 15 nonprofits, culminating in about 500 kilowatts of new solar power. The grantees represented groups from all walks of life, from inner city Milwaukee to the suburbs of the Fox Valley and to the countryside of the Driftless region in southwestern Wisconsin. The grantees also ranged in type, from churches and houses of worship to veteran services and even nature retreats. One project that we helped fund was Catholic Youth Expeditions. Catholic Youth is a youth retreat for Catholics outside of Bailey's Harbor in Door County. And like many religious organizations, they felt compelled to go solar primarily for spiritual purposes. Also, being an organization for children and young adults, they felt more compelled to invest in a clean energy source for the future. In addition to Renew, Catholic Youth also teamed up with Focus on Energy, Eland Electric in Green Bay, and other partners throughout Door County to make their solar project possible. They installed a 20-kilowatt array with the hopes of adding on more panels in the future. Now, every Solar for Good awardee has a champion that helps get the project done. Catholic Youth's champion was Father Quinton Mann. Father Quinn wanted solar panels at the retreat so that the camp could be powered by energy from heaven. Father Quinn plans to add more renewable elements to the camp's mix. One day he wants to take their diesel-powered bus and turn it into an electric power, or upgrade it for an electric-powered bus. The panels are now operating, powering his electric skateboard, and he also wants to one day get a lift foil. And for those of you that don't know what a lift foil is, it's an electric-powered surfboard, and he wants this to prove to his students that he really can walk on water. So Catholic Youth was interested in solar. They got a grant, they installed an array, and then they held a ribbon cutting. Renew invited the press, and we got a good amount of media attention from this event. It was a great day, not only for Renew and for Catholic Youth, but also for solar power as well. And we had many tangible results from this event that we could look back on. We are featured prominently in many news articles, and we also saw an uptick in the general interest in solar. In fact, Renew was asked to provide multiple information sessions to other nonprofits in the area, including the Diocese of Green Bay. So the program was off to a great start. In spring of 2018, we issued our second round of funding. We approved more grants, we held more ribbon cuttings, and we increased our visibility. All of this led to a record-breaking, fall 2018 funding round, our most recent one. So in 2017, we started out with 13 nonprofits. In the spring of last year, we added on 11 more. And then in the fall of 2018, we added 36 nonprofits to the mix. I gotta keep going. We literally had installations from the shores of Lake Superior all the way to the Illinois border. We approved over $400,000 in solar grants with the potential for $4.5 million in solar investment. If all of these projects come to fruition, we will generate over 2 megawatts of solar power right here in Wisconsin, enough to power over 500 homes. So a lot of our success, thank you, is due, of course, to the momentum we build up and even more so the generosity of the Couliards. We're also expanding our partnerships now to include low-income housing facilities in northern Wisconsin, a primates preserve in Westfield, and a student activity center at Beloit College, which used to be, wait for it, a coal-fired power plant. We're attracting newer audiences to solar every day, but our goal going forward remains the same. We're going to continue to expand solar in the Badger State. We're going to offer more rounds of funding this spring and this fall, and hopefully for many more years to come as well. We're going to continue to educate the public and expand our partnerships, especially with schools, because if we're going to truly scale up for the road ahead, we're going to need an educated population that's committed to renewable energy. Thank you.
Pretty cool, huh? Put it on the evaluations if you like it. We can do it again. Okay. Next up, David Delfoss of Faith Technologies. Absolutely.
Thanks, Tyler.
You bet.
Microgrid, Gordon Bubolt's Nature Preserve, is a nonprofit organization that Faith had an opportunity to work with over the past 2 years. The project that we worked on is one of the most complex microgrids in the Midwest. It features five DERs and the inclusion of EV charging stations. It serves as an educational tool, a prototype for technology and sustainable energy solutions, and it has the ability to evolve and change over time. All we need to do to really see how the energy landscape is changing is look at your cell phones or your laptops, where we can remain connected to anyone, anywhere within the world at any time. And because of this, there's an ever-increasing need for electricity. Therefore, we're challenged to find creative solutions that meet these needs. At Faith, we're finding these through responsible use of multiple renewable technologies. Our path to the solution for the microgrid was definitely a different path and a much different solution. Bubolt's Nature Center, like so many other facilities, was very old and was aging, and they definitely were in need of some serious help. They faced many challenges, including maintaining their core mission, but more importantly, it was about evolving and using today's technology to create long-term organizational sustainability. Therefore, when Faith and our partner stepped in, we looked at providing a different solution than just adding a new nature center and doing the same old thing. It began really with why. When we talk about why, we looked at efficiency, reliability, and sustainability, and really looked to increase the visibility to the preserve and educate on technology and utility in independence. It continued on with the what. That became what DERs would we use, what technologies would we use, and how would we optimize their operation. It was definitely a complex process, and in the end, we ended up with multiple different types of DERs, as you just saw on the last slide. As far as the how, we had to make sure we preserved the mission without mortgaging their future. All this came in with modularity in mind, with the construction and connectivity. As we evolved that connectivity and discovered the different types of technology that we wanted to use, one way of really making sure that we hit the highest efficiencies we could was to look at the control and integration of the overall systems together. We focused on safety, resiliency, and an economic ROI that maximized the DERs deployed on site. These DERs, when operating in full and normal operation, were available each in their own accord at any point in time and as the need arose. Ultimately, when we added all these different DERs together, it wasn't really just a solution that created one microgrid, but many. In fact, the unique benefits that we saw with the many really allowed us to perform true R&D evaluations through the process, as well as maintaining normal operations for the Nature Center. So it became a real process of and a overall technology and solution that gave us the ability to do a lot of different things at once. As we looked at the mission of Bubolt's, we had to again make sure we invested in their future and the surrounding community's future. We began with long-term renewable energy in mind, independency of the grid, and reducing costs. In addition, we added educational opportunities that would draw visitors to the Bubolt's Nature Center and allow for long-term sustainability for the organization. In the end, we started with a modular construction that housed all of the brains of the microgrid in this shipping container in order to move forward and ultimately achieve all of the DERs that were housed in the final immersion center, again, the brains of the overall project. But really, in reality, at the end of all of this, it became more than just technology. It became a matter of impacting the entire surrounding community, all those that visited it and will visit it in the future. And it became a matter of, as we termed the presentation, it was much more than the sum of its parts. It serves as a real great location for students to explore what is out there. And again, it connected all the different technologies that we see in front of us today and moving forward. Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you haven't had a chance to visit that microgrid, I would highly encourage you to arrange the opportunity to see it, because it is really a magnificent display of distributed energy resource technologies right here in Wisconsin.
It's tough to fit it in 5 minutes.
It's tough to talk about in 5 minutes. Thanks for your patience. We have to set these up because once you hit go. Finally, Stanley Minnick with Organic Valley. You're rolling. Thanks, Stanley.
We have some chocolate milk fans in the house. My name is Stanley Minnick. I'm Energy Services and Technology Manager for Organic Valley, and I don't wear suits very often, but this was the first time the governor's been at the Renew Summit, so I figured I could, you know, dress up a little. I'm going to tell you a story about an innovative partnership that we've been working on for the last couple years and how it almost didn't happen at all. Organic Valley has a long history of doing things a little differently, whether you're looking at our cooperative structure or how we farm. The gentleman on that horse tractor thing is actually our CEO, and this is obviously a fairly old photo, but care of the earth and the environment and our farmers is always at the heart of every decision we make. And in that light, in 2012, we partnered with Gunderson Lutheran to install two and a half megawatt wind turbines in Cashton. And at the time, the thought was that would get us to 100% renewable power. I wasn't with the co-op at that time, just to be clear. Our growth far out surpassed that individual project. So it was at a casual lunch with Eric over there where we were talking about, let's try to build a utility scale project in Cashton. Maybe it would look something like this. And it became really clear that due to the way the PSC rules and things like that work here, we were going to need to be creative. So these are municipal utilities, so there's some interesting opportunity when working with those municipal utilities. And they're actually part of a buying group. So Cashton is one of about 12 or 13 of these individual municipalities that pool to purchase their power. And in the end, we wanted to build one project, but 12 communities were interested in saving power for their constituents for 25 years. Who would have thunk it? The structure of this, I cheated and added this slide twice because there's no way 20 seconds is enough. But it is on the Rocky Mountain Institute website. I recommend pulling it up and checking it out there. Nothing about the way we purchase our power has changed because we're not allowed to do direct PPAs here. UMEG is that utility group. And in addition to the power and the savings flowing to Organic Valley, additionally, it's flowing to all of, as I mentioned, those community members. Everybody in these towns is set to save money over the next 25 years. And of course, to sweeten the deal, we wanted to make sure we were enhancing the agricultural benefits. We've been working with Rob Davis from Fresh Energy a lot. He's out in the audience and we'll be talking later. Pollinator habitat and sheep grazing seem like no-brainers for an agricultural company to get behind. But the process of getting approval was not easy. It took about a year, which actually I think is pretty quick, but a lot of really hard questions from this gentleman right here and a bunch of our other farmer board members and our leadership team. We had to really present a compelling argument as to why the co-op should commit to anything for 25 years, because that's what we did. We committed to 25 plus years of purchasing these RECs. But on the 1st of June, I remember it crystal clear. It was the best day at work I've ever had. And we have chocolate milk, so most days are good. And I just remember how excited we were thinking about being 100% renewably powered and all of those wonderful things. But then thinking about, you know, somewhere around, you know, 20, 30,000 Midwesterners saving on their energy bills for 30 years. We went out to the public with it, with a lot of the details, still to be determined, and I'm glad we did. It was the first time I got, and only time I got to be on Wisconsin Public Radio. And then a handful of months later, anybody heard of the solar tariff? I'm wondering. It happened. It's not a question of if something is going to happen to derail your projects. It's what do you do when it does? And what we did was we went back to the table, and as I like to say, we enhanced our financial commitment, which means we paid more. So we also brought on some really great partners in the city of Madison who agreed to partner on with some of the communities that we didn't have the demand to meet. And as well, Dr. Bronner's, a California company, is partnering with one of the projects as well. So we're really excited about talking to our industry peers. But I just want to take a second. I only have 20 seconds, Eric, but this is 1 year supply of chocolate milk. And I don't want to get weepy, so I'll just say I know you work your ass off, and I really appreciate it. So thank you. So we set out for one project. I would have been super stoked to do one utility scale project. I'd only been at Organic Valley like 3 months when I pitched the idea. So in 1988, this was Organic Valley's financial statement. Do you think they had any idea they'd be a $1 billion cooperative? No. When I started in this industry, I hoped I could help a handful of farmers a year. I was totally off. I get to help 2,000 of them every day. Jim Wiedeberg there, one of our first 7 farmers, he had no idea that there'd be 1,993 other farmers joining that co-op in 1988. But he took the first step. He put himself out there, and those members that came together have really created something special. And the only piece I'll say around policy is families like this one, these farmers, they deserve policies that enable them to take advantage of the same tools that people in Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, all these other states use. And we know what they are. The only time you're not happy to get applause is when you only have 20 seconds. There are 68,000 farms in Wisconsin. The vast majority of those are not Organic Valley farms. But I'd be willing to bet you a couple of cases of chocolate milk that almost all of them could benefit from renewable energy. So by being here today, by supporting Renew, the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, and others working in this space, you're really helping to unlock opportunities for our farmers and for our state to power the good. So thank you.
Let's give one more round of applause to all three of our story presenters. Thank you so much. You can stay. Very short. Just a couple of slides on to get you all ready for the breaks and the breakouts that follow it. So first, I do want to recognize, thank you, Amy, for recognizing we do have a growing team. One of the big sort of advancements in our organization, and I hope for our whole advocacy efforts and the whole industry of renewable energy in Wisconsin, is that we've got a bigger and stronger team that's more able to help deliver on this increasingly big opportunity to advance renewable energy. So we're very excited about that. I also wanted to highlight the increasing and much improved communications efforts. We now have first class, really, communications. This was an ad campaign that we ran throughout Southwest Wisconsin and in different parts of the state this year, focused on homegrown, healthy, and smart, being 3 ways to describe renewable energy, and showing pictures of people that work in this industry, people that are benefiting from the renewable energy creation that we're advancing here in Wisconsin. In addition, at our booth, if you want to look at our collateral, we have a lot of really good materials and fact sheets, information to help you in your local communities, within your companies, to continue to advance and advocate for renewable energy. We have membership opportunities and buttons if you're already a member, so we really appreciate all your support. Final note before a break, we've got a break now. We got about 33 minutes of a break at 10:45. We'll start breakout sessions, which we haven't done for years, but we're bringing them back. So the first 3 breakout sessions will be on biogas, utility-scale solar and wind, and local governments leading the way. And those are right across the hall, same level, everything. It's very easy. So enjoy your break. You got about 33 minutes, like I said. Network, get some food, get some energy, and then you'll be in breakout sessions for about 45, 50 minutes, and then you'll be back in here for lunch and our lunch keynote. So thank you all. Again, thanks all the morning speakers, and have a wonderful break. Thank you.